Hello, good afternoon, good morning, happy blessings, happy Wednesday. It is time for Living and Thriving. I'm Rusty, host of the show. Amy is here. She's going to be in control of the chat room today, so make sure you chat it up because it's always fun to have questions, tons of questions. Wanted to kind of reflect a little bit on last week's show. I thought it was really interesting, and for those of you who had the opportunity to download afterwards, hopefully some of the things or all of the things resonated with you and you were able to use the blessing at the end to your fullest advantage. Today we have an animal clairvoyant that is located here on the seacoast. I'm totally excited and have tons of questions for her because, as everyone out there knows, I am a magnet for stray dogs within a 50-mile radius, and that's D-O-G, not D-A-W-G, but I seem to be one of those two. and, you know, today I woke up, and it was really cold. Last week we had this great tropical 90s, 80s. I was living the high life. This week it's been 40s and cold and bundly and snuggly, and I woke up and the first thought in my head was surrender. Just surrender. So I think that really was a subconscious way for me to take, you know, to realize that I need to take a little bit of a break from all the projects that I have going on. And I'm sharing that because I'm sure that there are other people out there that have many balls in the air. And the word of the day is surrender. Just release it. Let it go. Relax. That's a very, very hard hurdle for me because I'm a busy bumblebee, but that's it. I think that's my word for the day. Amy, shout out to you. Hi, how are you? How was lunch?
Lunch was great. I got to experience rain, hail, sun, and snow all at the same time.
Only in New England.
It was pretty funny. I guess Mother Nature is getting it all out in one swoop, but now the sun's out, so I'm grateful for that.
Amen. We're getting our green thumbs.
My green thumb's been itching for 2 weeks.
I still want to dig in the dirt for a while. Maybe that's part of the surrendering. So any updates that we need, Amy, for anything? Updates on trade shows, updates on anything unusual, abnormal?
No, not really. Just, you know, I'm documenting my progress on last week's show. As I told you, I would keep you updated. There's been little teeny little things happening, and I'm grateful for those. So as the weeks progress, I will let you know what's been happening in my life. I seem to be a little bit more tolerant.
Good.
And not as eager to jump on things and giving myself me time.
Good for you.
Which I have a really hard time doing, as you know.
Yes. Yes, we both fit into that bucket of not taking the time.
Yes. So I guess we both needed to do that, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So if you want to call in and ask questions or give thoughts or just kind of hang out with us live, the number here, 347-205-9443. Otherwise, Amy's going to try to multitask and play in the chat room, which is a new adventure for her. So, you know, chat her up, give her high fives and kudos, and ask your questions that way. We're going to now bring Michelle in. Hi, Michelle. Good afternoon. How are you on this beautiful, sunny, haily, rainy, snowy, strange seacoast weather day?
Hi, Rusty. I'm doing great, and I have to say that I definitely resonated with your word for the day, and I, too, experienced all of those weather attributes at my last appointment.
Were you indoors or outdoors?
Oh, I was outdoors doing some land clearing work. That was not planned for the appointment, but was definitely what was needed on the day.
It's always an adventure, this life, isn't it?
Absolutely. I never know what I'm going into until I get there.
Amen to that. So why don't you give us a little bit about who you are, and you sound like you're from Australia. or England, or?
Yep, I'm originally from England, from London.
Oh, beautiful. So you have a passion for cheddar cheese, too.
I love that and many other good foods.
Huh?
That and many other good foods.
Absolutely. I used to work in Belgium, and I really did not want to come back to the United States because the food is just so different, and I wanted to live there and be a foodie for the rest of my life.
They have great chocolate there, too.
Oh, my gosh, yes, they do. And the Kinder Eggs were my favorite to bring back to my daughters.
I love those as a child.
So give us a little bit of the about you.
Okay. I currently work as an animal clairvoyant and also an energy worker. I use shamanism and Reiki. I work primarily within the animal kingdom to provide healings, to provide answers to questions that owners may have about their animals, unanswered questions about history if they have a shelter dog or a rescue dog. I work with unexplained behavioral changes, so many different attributes of our animals trying to communicate with us and tell us the things that are going on, not only for them, but as a reflection for their owners too, and I kind of work as a go-between.
Okay, so give us a little bit of history. And again, Amy and I are chomping at the bit because we have tons of questions, but for our audience, I really want to, I'm sure you heard the introduction in regards to me being a dog magnet. So,
yeah.
So history, how did you find out that you had this beautiful gift to translate animal issues into human language? Were you a child?
I think it's something that's been built up over the years. As a child, I always gravitated towards animals rather than people. I seem to just be very comfortable around them. I've been around horses since I was 9, and it didn't matter the size of the horse. I never had any fear. And so I've always resonated with them on that vibration. Probably had the gifts as a child, but don't really recall using them. And then life has just taken me from one place to another, talk about surrender, to learn all the things that I know today. And actually, it was my first two dogs who were Rhodesian Ridgebacks and my horse that I've had now for the last 14 years that really pushed me into finding a different way to provide health care for our animals.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that you, I was reading on your website how you started in the corporate world. What industry did you work in before you decided to embark on your own journey?
Oh, my goodness. Many different industries. I probably lasted 18 months in each job. The common denominator was I was in computer work, so I was just software support, database writing, training manual writing, always helping people how to use computers and software, and always in that realm, and I was very, very good at it, but I hated it.
Yeah, I agree. I went into healthcare thinking that's what I wanted, but it just seemed like no avenue I chose was the right one, and that's why I was asking that question. I was reading on your website that you call it holistic care for animals, which I'm a holistic therapist, so I'm very intrigued on what you do because I use Reiki on my animals, and I do use essential oils, but, you know, I'm just learning how to use them with animals. I've been using them on humans for many, many years, but, you know, it was a little, I know that their metabolism is faster than ours, so I'm a little you know, gun shy of using them with the animals because I certainly don't want to harm them in any way or overstimulate them. So can you elaborate a little bit on what you do with animals?
Absolutely. I actually have different tools that are available to me in my office. I've set that up. So I have gemstones available. I have essential oils. I also use a lot of tools that I learned through shamanism. And when the animals come in, I really allow them to create the session and I don't have an agenda, so no matter what they've come before, I stay open to what they may need rather than what the owner thinks they may need, because very often it's different. So the animal will find a way to come in, and then they'll kind of communicate with me that actually it's digestion and not the lame back leg that they originally came in for. As far as the essential oils, I've been using them with animals for over 11 years, and I allow the animals to choose the oil, and then I simply just take the lid off the oil and present it to them, and they will tell me very clearly whether this is an oil that they resonate with or not, and then they allow me to either put it on topically or that just smelling the oil was all that they needed. And I also use that as a form of introducing myself to the animal to show them I'm offering them something a little different.
That's exciting. Now, talk to me a little bit, if you can't distinguish our voices yet, this is Rusty. our voices evidently are similar, so people go, who's talking? In regards to the shamanism, what training did you have to go through? To me, that resonates very high in my heart, and it's something that I look forward to doing at some point in my life. But was it local training? Did you have to go away? What is your relationship there?
I have always wanted to do shamanism. I've been very attracted to that form of energy. I wait until the right person comes along and I resonate with that person to teach me. And I met a wonderful woman called Anne Souza, who's local, at a trade show that I was doing, and she just connected energetically. And I actually studied with her for 2 years. The first year was a shamanism apprenticeship, and the second one was a diviner's intensive apprenticeship.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned not only about shamanism and the shamanism that she had learned in Africa and was bringing here, but also a lot of my own healing that I really wasn't ready for, but realized the first weekend of the apprenticeship 3 years ago now, that this was very much about my own healing work as well as what I was going to learn to bring out into the world.
Super exciting. So, in what I've understood about shamanism is that's very close to the animal spirit. A lot of the shamanic tribes actually utilize animal totems and animal spirituality in part of their meditations or prayers, or I'm trying to be kind of general. How do you utilize the shamanic piece in your healing?
I work very closely with animal spirit guides anyway, and they usually will come through whether I'm working with people or whether I'm working with animals. And so that's one of the gifts that gives me information about what needs to happen in a healing. And then the shamanism has really given me some extra tools that has provided me with an opportunity to do clearings. So very often animals actually come in with spiritual attachments.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the tools that I use are to help me protect myself, protect everyone in the room, but also clear out the attachment. And I don't know how these things work, but again, surrender comes up to say, it works. I don't need to know how. If I'm seeing a difference in the animal, then I continue to use those tools. And so, again, the animals will kind of resonate in with me as to what's going on, and then I'm asking for guidance as to what tools need to be used. And so those tools I learned within the shamanism process and the understanding of all of that is just something extra now that I can bring into a session.
That's super, super cool.
Now, when you're working with the animals, do you also work with, I call them parents, not owners, parents of, because that's what I am. I'm a parent. I don't like the word own, because I don't own the dog. The dog came, I believe she came to me in spirit. I've never had a puppy. I've always had grown dogs come into my life that are meant to be with me. So, and I'm very grateful for that. But do you work with the pet's parents to be able to connect with them better?
Absolutely. I always say it's a two-for-one deal when you come and see me. not only am I working with the animal that came in for a particular reason, but there's the reflection back on the owner, and very often the history that the animal holds is the history that the owner holds.
Mm-hmm.
The feeling that takes place as the animal is releasing and letting go resonates with the owner. And so there's a double healing that's taking place. And also, as I communicate the animal story, the owner is resonating with that. And so it's providing a deeper understanding of what's going on with the animal, why that animal came to you, because I totally agree with you, and what lessons are to be learned from that animal coming into our lives. What is it that they want to teach us and show us to make us be better?
Now, do you also work with animals that have passed on, or is it just present physical animals?
I work with animals that are still here in the physical realm, but there are very often animals that will come through that have passed on, that were part of the family. And in fact, I worked very closely with that last week. I had an animal come in that had just lost his animal brother, two dogs, two boxers.
Mm-hmm.
But the animal that was still here was actually just acting very strangely in his behavior. And when he came in, she brought a picture of the two of them in, and the dog who had passed had not crossed. And so he was still attached to his brother. And he said, "Get off my back."
Right.
But the dog that had passed actually had unfinished business and messages for the owner in the care of the dog that was still living and wasn't willing to cross until these messages had been put through.
Wow, and how intense that somebody would actually say and acknowledge that and say, okay, well, it's not a traditional route.
No, it's
so
not.
So that's really cool, and that's a good parent for sure.
Yeah, and she was very open to everything that was being shared and all the information that was coming through. And I think people that are choosing to come to me understand that I take a different angle.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not, don't expect anything regular from the session, because I never know what's going to come out. But I've also learned, again, surrender to the guidance
mm-hmm.
that comes through for me, and that whatever information comes through to me is to be shared.
So I'm going to finally ask my question. Why am I a dog magnet? I love dogs, but literally, I mean, especially as recently, Amy's dog, Layla, she literally will crawl inside my body. She will, and she's a beautiful brindle boxer, gorgeous, love bug, and I don't know, maybe I ran a dog shelter in my past life. You know what I mean? Was I a breeder? It's just this magnetism, and I feel very strongly about them when I'm with them, but wouldn't say I'm clairvoyant, but so what would your assessment be?
Usually when people are dog magnets, it's twofold. One is that they know that a safe environment is being provided for them, where they can do their healing work, where
mm-hmm.
they're not going to be continually passed on and on and on, that there's an understanding there that the dog's been attracted to you, and so you're going to take care of this dog and be the parent and all of those different things that we do. The other piece to look at is the reflection. What is it in the history of these dogs that's a reflection for you to do some of your own work?
Ooh, interesting. Can you dive deeper in that? I would love to just spend the day with you, but do you need an intern for a day?
Sure.
I'll come too. Woo-hoo! I'll bring Layla.
Oh my God, it's amazing. They literally, animals, I'm allergic to cats, so I try to avoid them, but even with cats, or when I go to the zoo, I'll be the one person in the zoo that can pet the giraffe. while the giraffe turns its head to other people, or goats. Goats love me too, but maybe that's my Irish background. You know, so it's just, it's curious because it's becoming like it's becoming more aggressive. Maybe mm-hmm. is that the word?
Well, it's the timing too, because what we're going through globally, we're becoming more aware of things, and I think animals have known this coming for a lot longer than we have.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I really truly believe that they know a lot more. If they could talk, and we could, I can't say they couldn't talk, if we could understand them better. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm intrigued by this, because like I said, I've never gone out and chose my animals. They have chosen me.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a question on the chat line. Tara Hathaway, how can I help him relax?
What, can you ask her what type of animal that'll probably help, Michelle?
Yeah, I think it's Tom. Let's see. What type of
That's
I know it's pretty general.
I've had a ton of questions around that before. I would want to give something that would work.
Yes.
So hypothetically, if it were a cat, let's say, because I believe this person has cats. That's what I'm seeing in my head. And it just was a fidgety cat, restless. What kinds of recommendations would you offer?
Cats are a very different energy to dogs, and they're also highly sensitive to energies in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So my first feeling is to see what the energy is going on in the house and maybe do a staging and a clearing in the house.
Mm-hmm.
She gives a little bit more detail. It says, first visit is enjoying the show. Okay. My question to Michelle is, recently I've been redecorating our home, and I have a Pomeranian 4 years and an 8-month-old puppy. My older dog knows when he sees things move, and he thinks we are moving. How? How can I help him relax?
Having a conversation. That's one of the easiest ways to build the relationship and build a deeper understanding, is to simply talk. Sit down and have a conversation with your dog and say, this is what's going on, this is why it's going on. When you decorate the house, you're changing the energy. You're changing the colors, which have a vibration to them. Those colors may or may not be resonating with the dog, or they may be changing the energy in the house, which the dog is then not used to.
Mm-hmm.
So again, if you're gonna make changes like that, it's probably a good idea to do some staging work to clear any energy that's been shifted, that's been sitting or hiding, that's now come up to the forefront, because you're kind of doing a clearing by repainting.
Mm.
And then having a conversation with the dog and saying, you know, we're just changing the colors, or we're just decided to redecorate. Nothing is happening. No one's going anywhere. You're safe. I find that those conversations can be really, really helpful.
Well, that's very interesting, because that's what you would do when you would be talking to your child.
Yeah.
And letting them know the changes, but we don't do that with our animals. We just expect them to accept the change.
I've always talked to my dogs as though they were my children. And my oldest daughter used to laugh at me. She's like, Mom, why are you having a conversation with Kaya? Because. She can hear me. She understands me, you know.
Yeah, well, we all talk to our animals that way, but I never used to. I grew up in a household where a family member was not abusive, but verbally abusive, like used it as a controlling mechanism. And to give you any clue, he named the dog just in case he didn't work out as a bird dog, he would kill him. That was I'll never forget that as long as I live, because the dog was probably the most cowardice dog I've ever met in my life. He literally would belly wiggle over to him and pee along the way. And I took the dog out of the home and said, you don't deserve to have this animal.
Yeah.
And never should you have another animal until you can learn to treat it with respect. and he hasn't had another animal. So, you know, I think that gave me an inkling of the connection between humans and animals, and I've always had that connection as well. As psychic abilities, and I've always been connected to animals. I was in Mexico, and parrots would fly and land on my shoulder and talk to me in Spanish. So, you know, I've always had that. But I don't think I have as much of a connection as I do with humans for whatever reason, as far as, like, reading them, or I just haven't paid attention enough. I mean, I do with my own animals, but not everyone's animals.
Yeah, hummingbirds are the other one for me. Hummingbirds and...
I have a baby nest every year in front of my house. It's really cool.
Aww.
Yeah, I, the kids that go by, and they have a park up the street, and they have a summer camp, and the teacher was pointing out the hummingbird babies. They look like little, almost like big mosquitoes. And when they figured out what they were, I went out and talked to them, and then they tiptoed by my house every day. So they wouldn't disturb the hummingbirds.
The hummingbirds were so prevalent in my last house. I have a girlfriend who thought they were a figment of writing. She had never seen one, did not believe in them. And so I invited her to come and sit and have a couple of hours of lunch. And through eating our salad, we had, I want to say, 19 just around our heads.
Wow.
And she's like, oh, my God. And her face was priceless. If you, like a child seeing Disney World for the first time, seeing the big blue castle, she was like, oh. And it's just, it's spectacular to have that connection and that appreciation with nature.
Yeah, I have a great book that I keep in my car, and it's called Animal Speak Pocket Guide by Ted Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm very much guided by the animals I see every day while I'm driving around, because it tells a story of where I am and what I need to be doing. And so I'm just looking up hummingbird right here, and it says renewal. And it says,
oh,
dreams,
isn't that interesting?
Yeah, dreams.
That's so interesting.
Are within reach, opportunity for accomplishment, along with promising success and renewed health.
Amen. That's really super exciting. We really have to spend the day together, because we could go on and on and on. So let's get back to you, which is what this show's about. Tell me a little bit about, you know, for me, I feel, I get sensations. Do you see things? Do you feel things? Do you hear things? Is it a combination of all three?
It's usually a combination. It really, again, depends on the animal I'm with, as to, I'm very open to allowing them to find their way in to me, because it's definitely something I have to work at. It doesn't come easily to me necessarily, depending on the vibration that I'm in that day. So they usually will find a way to connect with me, and if they have emotional issues, then I'll feel it right in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I know I'm dealing with some deep emotional issues, even if there's a physical concern. If they've been abused or they've had some kind of previous history that nobody knows about that needs to be told so they can do some healing, they'll show me enough of what happened that I can share that story. And as I'm sharing the story, it's like removing that baggage from the animal so they don't have to carry it around anymore.
Wow.
Sometimes I hear stuff. Normally it's very short, quick sentences, and I've learned to just relay that sentence, and usually it resonates with the owner enough that they will then expand on it and create the rest of it. So I'm very into empowering people to be integrated into these sessions, so it's not just about me relaying information. I want them be in it. I want them to feel it. I want them to understand what's going on, so that ultimately when they leave the session, they're empowered enough to continue that dynamic, that deeper relationship with their animal.
Have you ever run into a situation where you're trying to release the information from the animal and you've been bit, or it just was something so bad that had happened to the animal that they lashed out on you? Have you ever been in a situation that caused you harm or danger?
No, and that's because I learned very early on that I create an honor and respect with the animal before I ever work with them, so that they understand that I'm open to whatever it is that they need.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I certainly work with horses that as they're releasing their stuff, they're kicking and they're throwing hissy fits and all kinds of stuff, but I spend a lot of time watching animals with each other so I can
mm-hmm.
learn body language. And that way I can watch them all the time and catch signs before I get injured. And if I need to back off and let them walk around for a bit, then I just back off. It's not, I've let my ego go over this, and I think that's why I don't get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
If they need to end the session, we end it. I have been warned. I had a little Yorkie years ago that had been through some surgical upset and was carrying some energy from that. And as I was working on him, he whipped around and gave me a little nip that broke the skin. He was sitting on my lap, and I just didn't, nothing changed. I just carried on doing the energy work, and it was his little way of releasing what needed to be released, and it never happened again. And I had a dog recently that just kind of, not nipped me really, but just kind of opened his mouth over my mouth during a session. And again, he was just setting some boundaries, and if he had meant it, he would have hurt me, but he didn't. And it just keeps me in check, you know, it just keeps
mm-hmm.
me in a place of safety. But no, I set intention that it's not about me getting hurt because I'm there to help them. That
right.
no one needs to get hurt, I'm listening. And very often with the horses, I tell people, if they're kicking you or they're trying to bite you, their language is now shouting. Like, you haven't been listening, and they're turning up the volume and turning up the volume and turning up the volume, and then that person gets kicked in the head, and for me it's like, you weren't listening. What else are they supposed to do to make you pay attention?
So
the message to me is just, I really want people to listen to the subtleties so that they don't get hurt.
Now, in this line of work, to me I would think it's just personally very healing. How do you find that your relationships and giving up the ego and which is a hard thing for humans to do. So if you've been able to do that, you are well on your way to wonderful things for sure. How does that help you with your day-to-day life? Does it resonate consistently for you? Like when you wake up in the morning, you just feel...
Or do you turn it on and off?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think I, a while ago when I realized this was my path and this was my work and how important it was for me to be out there doing this and being truthful around it, I really kind of decided this was 24/7,
mm-hmm.
that I'd bring in this energy and this vibration 24/7. And the cool thing about that is when I have life lessons to learn, which, you know, we all do forever and ever, that I'm able to apply everything I've learned either from the animals or just through my experiences to myself and go, what do you need to do? Check back in with yourself. And I'm very fortunate to have a horse and a dog now that I work with very closely who reflect for me where I'm at energetically and emotionally. And so if they're misbehaving, rather than going to them and saying, what are you doing? You're not listening. I've learned to go, oh, this is a red flag to say that I'm not where I'm supposed to be. So I look back at myself and I check in and I go, wow, you're right.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
So I customize it that way.
So give us a way to contact you. We have quite a few people in the chat room chatting away and really interested in what you have to say. And we are international. So tonight there will be tons of downloads. So definitely give us your contact.
So I can be reached on my cell phone, which is 207-289-0009. And my website is NicoNaturalTherapies, com. And
your cell phone is actually a little echoey, boxy. So can you spell that for us?
Yeah, Niko is Nikoe Therapies. Niko Natural Therapies.
All right, so NikoNaturalTherapies.com. And
yes,
we're going to take a short break. We have Michelle Lowry on the line, and she's fabulous. And we're talking to an animal clairvoyant about animals and the process and really good stuff. So we'll be right back. Go stretch your legs, your arms, your neck, get some tea. Do what you got to do. We'll be right back. Hey, for all of you out there in Radio Land, welcome. It's Wednesday. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty and fabulous co-host Amy Breggy. We are on air live talking to Michelle Lowry, an animal clairvoyant, and who also has a love for cheddar and chocolate. Woo-hoo! Gotta love this lady. If you want to call in and ask her questions, we're going to open up the phone lines now. The number here is 347-255-9443. I'll give it to you one more time because the coffee is just hitting my veins and I'm feeling jazzy. 347-205-9443. Hey, Michelle, did you see anything cool out there on your 30-second break?
No, I was just, I resonate and vibrate when I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm vibrating pretty high right now.
Well, that's funny because guess what I do for a living? I do vibrational raindrop.
Oh, wow.
I use acutonic tuning forks and essential oils.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah, so I'm an aromatherapist, herbalist, and yeah.
It's very fascinating. I was one of her test subjects, and I have a scientific mind, and I'm like, okay, you know, I played the cello, I played the violin, I'm totally cool with vibrations, I get it, and I know I personally have a high vibration frequency, but she was working on my feet with these tuning forks, and my ears started wiggling. So it's been a running joke. She looked at me and she goes, do you need your ears to wiggle?
Yes.
Or
I can make her ears wiggle.
And it stayed, the little, you know, flaps wiggled and wiggled and wiggled. It was the funniest thing, and I got a great giggle. I don't know if that was a cathartic moment, but it was wonderful.
Yes.
Highly recommended.
So my question is, what kind of essential oils do you use with the animals? What seems to work well with them?
You know, it's interesting. I have some blends that I tend to use. One of the, well, depending, if an animal seems very much out of its body for varying different reasons, then I have an oil called Grounding, which is a blend of oils that kind of brings the soul back into the body so that the animal can be present enough to work with.
Yes, in fact, I just got done using that on a human patient today.
Great one.
Is it from Young Living?
Yes.
Okay, that's wonderful because that's what I use.
Yeah, well, when you said raindrop, I kind of thought that's probably where you were getting them from.
Yeah, this new vibrational raindrop is brand new this fall. And
oh,
I'm
wow.
The only one trained in New England, I believe, outside of New York, where my trainers live. But I was interested because even though I'm very comfortable using essential oils on everyone that comes in a 2-mile radius of me, I'm just starting to experiment with animals, and I've asked people have asked me to use them, and where I work, I'm an integrative medical facility in Dover at Journey to Wellness, and we do have lady that does massage there that works with horses. So I'm just starting to feel more comfortable using oils with animals.
I'm definitely very picky with my oils. Those are the only oils I've used in the last 11 years. And
I don't use anything else as well.
Yeah, the shifts and changes that happen with the animals, and they really do pick their own oils, creates amazing changes in the body, whether it's physical or emotional. And again, they kind of guide me as to what's okay and what's not, whether I'm going to drop the oils down the spine, whether they're going to go on the pads, the feet, how much, whether it needs to be diluted or not, which most of the time it doesn't.
Do you smell them and you kind of view how they react to them? How do you work with them, with the animals?
I have a great big container full of the oils, and I tend to open them up, and very often the animals will actually go over and check them out as to the start to pick one of the oils that they're interested in or just show an interest in the oils. And so that's the first thing I do, and again, creating that relationship of listening, I say, oh, you're interested in the oils, which one do you want? And we go through that process, and I'm very intuitive too, so I'll pick an oil up and I'll take the lid off. And with the horses, it's fascinating because no one's ever taught a horse how to correctly smell an essential oil, but they all do it correctly. They'll go to one nostril and take a breath, and then they'll move their head and go to the other nostril and take a breath, and then they may go back again.
That's interesting.
If they really like it, the upper lip goes up and they want to eat the bottle, and it's amazing to watch them really work with that vibration. And then if the oil does not resonate with them, they turn away as quickly as they turn to it. So it's a very clear message. And again, it's building that relationship of saying, you don't have to shout, you can whisper, I'm listening.
So how long does a session normally take for you? I mean, obviously it's going to depend on the circumstance, but what is your recommended kind of time?
When I ask people to allow an hour to an hour and a half.
And you're able to build that rapport that quickly in order to, or do you have them do an hour and a half for 3 weeks?
No, the initial session is an hour to an hour and a half, and I've usually connected into the animal before they come or before I get to the barn, so that they kind of know I'm on my way. And then the first 15, 20 minutes, very often I'm not even in contact with them physically. I'm talking with the owner. I'm watching them respond. I'm looking at what they're doing when I talk about certain things. And if they come into the conversation and lay down, then I know I'm on target with something that they need to talk about. And if they walk away, then either it's been complete or we're off track with something. And they'll start to guide me into a Reiki session or the oils or the stones, and then the session just progresses from there. And then after the session, it's easier to determine exactly what needs to happen next, whether they need to come back or not, whether there's a dietary change. So I never know until the session is complete what's happening.
So give us a walk at one day.
We have a question on line. She asks, have you heard that cats cannot have essential oils? And if they can, what are the precautions?
Absolutely. Cats resonate at a whole different level, and they also can be affected through their liver from essential oils.
Can I just comment on that real quick?
Yeah.
I use a diffuser in my house. It's on a timer. Every 2 hours, it goes off for 10 minutes. And predominantly, I just use thieves and purification. I have a cat that's 8 years old who is in perfect, perfect health, has never had a health problem ever. I've never used oils on her directly. But I've always, since she has been in my home, she has been exposed to diffused essential oils.
Yeah, and diffused the way you're doing it does work. And I think, you know, every cat may be different in what their tolerance level is for the oils. diffused or otherwise. But you just have to be really careful. You can't use them as liberally as you can with dogs. But I have to say, I mean, I've used oils on my own cat because, of course, when you're in this work, your animals are your own guinea pigs, and they've come into your life because of that. And I have used essential oils directly, topically, diluted on my cat. And I have a 21-year-old cat that's doing great, just like yours. And she's been around the oils and stuff. So I think it's more just about being careful and maybe either using a pendulum and just checking in with the cat and making sure that you're doing is okay.
That's great, because I've always felt that it's you know, if I'm guided to use them, I use the thieves during the winter, which a lot of people have been told not to use thieves around animals at all. I have for 12 years in my house, and I've never had a problem with my animals being ill at any point. I also think it helps keep fleas and ticks out of the house. I know the purification does. I have used Peace and Calming on animals very, very lightly, like maybe one drop. And just a tiny bit on the paws, but I have never, you know, I've heard of rain dropping horses. I've heard great stories about that, and that you use about a quarter to a half of what you would use on a human. So I guess that's why a lot of people may be a little skeptical in using them. With definitely shouldn't use them without guidance and direction.
Definitely. I've been doing raindrop on dogs and horses for 10 years with fabulous results, but I'm very aware of what's going on. I always test with a pendulum as to which oils they want and how much they want, and even with that, they may cut short after the fourth oil and say, that's good. So it's really, again, it's not about saying this is how it has to be done, but allowing the process to unfold and being very aware of what the oils are doing to the animals. Those oils hit the cell in 20 seconds, so there's big changes.
Exactly.
So it's being very respectful. All of the tools I have, I'm very respectful of them, and I make sure that the animal is telling me that this is okay to do.
So in regards, and I'm going to try to pull the conversation back a little bit, I had a question in regards to what it's like to walk in your shoes for a day. Is it, do you, you know, you had mentioned earlier, and I never really got to get the question in regards to you see a lot of signs all day long which guide you. Can you give us a little bit of a picture as to what that's like?
Sure. I mean, I'm just smiling because every day I wake up and go, wow, this is such a great life, and it just keeps getting better. I do. I'm guided all day long. I find that my guidance comes from license plates, vanity license plates, from the lyrics on songs on the radio, who's calling or emailing when I'm having specific thoughts or conversations about things. I've learned to really just go with the flow. So even if I have an agenda for the day, if something changes or a client cancels, you know, I used to attach dollar signs to every cancellation, and I don't do that anymore because I understand that resonation-wise, it probably wasn't right for the appointment, and also maybe I need a break. I used to work 7 days a week because I love what I do. So I really, every day is different. You know, when I got my dog that I have now, who's my partner in this work, when I picked him up, I said to him, every day will be different. No 2 days will ever be the same. And that literally is the way my life is. I never know how it's going to happen, what's going to unfold, but it's all good. I learn something new from every animal that I come into contact with.
Okay, we have another question on the chat line that someone has some pet rats, and they wanted to know if you could use essential oils as a kind of therapy for rats. She says she owns 8, and they are much loved as my dogs.
Oh, I probably, again, I would pendulum. I've not worked with rats. directly. I would probably use a pendulum or some kind of muscle testing just to make sure that it's going to resonate with the rat. And maybe it resonates with one or two of them, but not all of them. So it really, when you're working with animals, it really is about what's resonating for them and not being generic. So just because lavender oil worked on one animal for one thing, it isn't necessarily going to work the same way for a different animal. And I think that's the art to this, is just staying really open. And again, I mean, if you have the oil right there, just take the lid off and see what they do. See if they walk away. See if they come towards it. I mean, that's the easiest way to know if an animal's resonating with the oil or not.
And less is more, always, with essential oils. You know, for anyone that's listening, I'm just starting working with essential oils with animals, but again, it's their metabolism's a lot faster, so it's going to go through the body a lot faster. So just a tiny little bit on your finger and just dab it on their paws, or just letting them smell it is simply enough. I believe that, you know, the creator created herbal medicine for us as well as the animals and every living being on this planet. We just have to be open to relearn what we already knew. That's the journey I'm on right now anyway.
I totally agree with you. And what's really interesting with the oils is I can almost count for 20 seconds and see the change, whatever that change may be when the oil has been applied. And so now I've become aware of that. I've become even more aware of it. And I actually allow the animal to process without me necessarily doing anything else after I've applied the oil. Like, here's the oil, process this through your system, and then let's see what you need to do next. So it's a great tool.
Give us the most memorable. What was your most memorable moment or animal or experience? I'm sure you've had one.
I've had many. I think one that's kind of jumping out at me, I do some volunteer work at a shelter in Kennebunk, and one of the dogs that they had presented to me to work with had been there for a while. She wasn't getting adopted. They weren't sure what was going on. And so I sat and sat with her for a little while and kind of got a feel for her and what was going on. And what was going on was she had this big veil over her that was making her invisible to being seen. And the reason behind it was she was lacking confidence and self-esteem and just didn't think that she was worthy of being adopted. And so she had shut herself off and isolated so no one could see her, if that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely.
So I did some work with her, and I did some energy work with her, and I worked on the chakras. And when I do work at the shelter, I only do energy work. I don't have any other tools other than just intention and guidance. And so I worked to clear this veil for her and clear her out, get her chakras all balanced, make her feel better about herself. And I never know what the outcome is going to be other than I just set intention that she will find the home that's right for her. And she was gone within 3 days.
That's wonderful. And the shelter in Kennebunk is one of my favorite shelters. I've actually had adopted my soul dog, Kaya, who recently died of terrible cancer from the shelter. And she was a pit bull, and people, for whatever reason, have... there's a stigma, and she was the sweetest, most loving, mushy face, bestest friend. Oh, my God. She loved to sit on my lap and put her head right in between my ear and my shoulder and just snuggle. And she was 80 pounds, you know. It was hard when I was pregnant because I kind of had to figure out how to get her in there. But they did a great job with – they do a very good job with training, and most of their volunteers that I've met over the years have just been top-notch, so – cool.
Yeah.
It's really good to hear that you work there.
Yeah, it's been an extra piece. I work very closely with the trainer over there, and I give my piece of what I feel is going on with the dogs so that they can work with them in a different way. And it's been a really great relationship to build with them. I've been there since October.
So do you have a sad story? A situation that just resonates in this bad way? We all have them. We're healers.
Yeah, it does. And it's kind of a sad story, but not really, because I believe so much in the path for every animal as well as every person. And again, in the shelter, I had worked with a dog that just didn't seem right neurologically. And so I took her and I was doing some work with her, and she just didn't feel right. There was this incredible buzzing going on in her head. Mm-hmm. And so I just felt like she needed extra medical attention. I didn't really know what was going on. I don't always get the details. And so they actually had a veterinarian look at her, and she had a brain tumor. And so they decided that there really was nothing they could do based on her situation, and so they euthanized her, which was sad in that place. But what was awesome about it was that she didn't end up being adopted, going to a home where they were all excited to have this new dog, and then got a diagnosis like that.
Right.
So it was sad, but it wasn't, if that makes sense. I'm not compassionate about what happened with her, but
No, absolutely, because you know that would have been more sad, I think, especially if they had children and there was that deep affection, you know.
Yeah,
a lot of heartache surrounding that.
I had an experience once, because, like I said, I do Reiki with animals, and I had a close relative who had asked me to work on her dog, and I had gotten a really strong, precise feeling that they were ready to leave this world. But I also knew that the parent owner was not ready for this dog to leave.
Right.
I did not tell the parent that the dog was ready to leave. I just told the dog that it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not really quite sure to this day why, but I was felt very strong not to tell her that. I didn't want her to connect the death of the animal with that experience. I just knew that the dog was very clearly telling me, I'm ready, I'm okay with it, please help her through this.
Nice.
Have you had that type of experience?
Yes. I have worked with a couple of people, and I'm actually getting known for doing some of this transitional work. I worked with a dog a couple of years ago that was definitely in transition and worked with her right the way through, and actually the owner had asked me to be there for the euthanization process. But prior to that, this dog had, I'm calling it writing a will because I can't really put any other words to it, but this dog told me exactly how she wanted the euthanization process to go, where she wanted to be. She told me what she wanted to happen with her ashes after she had passed, who they needed to go to, where they needed to be spread.
Wow.
Where they needed to be placed. I mean, it was like in amazing detail that I've never really experienced before. And what I realized was so awesome about this process was that after she had passed, that the owners could be proactive in that passing because they had a job to do afterwards to honor her.
Mm-hmm.
And so rather than sitting in the deep grief, they were able to go out and actually be with her still and do the things that she had asked. And so it was a nice closure to that whole experience. So it was a cool lesson for me to understand that. And I had actually experienced that with my own dog, who had described to me exactly how he wanted to pass and what I was to do with the ashes and everything. And so it's another piece where the transition for them is fine. It's the humans getting into that transitional place and knowing the dogs are okay with it and that there are things you can do afterwards.
Awesome. All right, guys, you're listening to Living and Thriving Radio with Rusty and co-host Amy Breggy. We're on the air talking to wonderful Michelle Lowry, animal clairvoyance, and super cool lady who likes chocolate and cheese, just like me. If you want to call in and join in on the chat and ask some questions, feel free. The number here is 347-255-9443. Otherwise, hit Amy up in the chat room. Keep her busy. She is loving multitasking today. So, Michelle, can you give us your contact information one more time? We're in a great place for that.
Absolutely. My telephone number is 207-289-0009. And my website is NikoNaturalTherapy.com. And Niko is spelled N-I-K-O-E.
Excellent. Now, was Niko a pet? How did you come up with the name Niko?
Niko was a combination of the three animals that kicked me into this work.
So talk to us a little bit about that.
So my first two dogs were Rhodesian Ridgebacks, and their names were Naira and Kobo, so that's the N-I and the K-O. And Kobo taught me about the opportunity for better nutrition and holistic health care after he passed from a vaccination reaction. So that kind of pushed me into finding out more about that and about nutrition and improved immune system health and all that goes along with that. And Naira was his son who had pretty bad fear aggression. And so through the change of nutrition and some detoxification, I was able to start to change the thought patterns around fear aggression. And then with some retraining that I did with a very good friend of mine, I was able to completely alleviate the issue. It took me 6 years, but now I know what the protocol is, so it makes it a lot easier. And then the E is my horse, Echo, who I've had since he was six. He's now going to be 20 this year and has been the most incredible guide and wisdom seeker, and he now channels through me to give readings to people. He's the most incredible spiritual being that I've come across.
I would love to come and meet Echo.
That would be awesome.
So you are, is it okay if we give your city away, where your office is located?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you are in Elliott, Maine, right down the road from me, actually, or us.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a walk-in office or is it by appointment only?
It's by appointment.
Okay.
And the dogs are welcome there. It's very dog-friendly in there. It's set up specifically for that work. So that is by appointment. I also do house calls if a dog is too sick to travel or is too nervous to be somewhere new. So I do house calls too. And then for the horses, I go to the barn.
Okay. Now, you were talking about nutritional, which is one thing that is really something that I'd like to talk a little bit about, because not only in the human world are we not directed properly on our diet from our physicians, we certainly are not through the food that we are given to feed our animals. Can you elaborate a little bit on nutrition, what we should be feeding them, what we shouldn't be feeding them?
Yeah, you've got about 3 days. Yeah, and this is something that, like I said, I learned from my first two dogs. And what I learned, and now there's some really good quality kibble out there, but back then there really wasn't. And what I learned was the quality or lack of quality of the ingredients that were going into kibble. And on top of that, the process of creating kibble, where basically we were feeding our dogs air. I mean, there was no nutritional value in it. And between that and supplements that weren't really working, and again, not seeing what was actually going on with each individual dog to create health, you know, dogs were getting sick and getting cancer young and hip dysplasia and all kinds of issues that, if you go back to the farm dogs that were healthy and lived forever, they lived on real food, they had tons of exercise, they had a job to do, and they were just part of the family. And a lot of that has changed. So I started to do some research into different kinds of foods that would be going back to the digestive system of a wild dog, and what would that dog eat and where would it get it from. And so I got very into the raw diet for those dogs that can tolerate it, you know, adding veggies in there, and I got into some of the manufactured raw foods that I really began to like. And then just understanding that it was that combination of organ meat and bones and raw meat that a wild dog would have, you know, as a form of sustaining themselves. And then the vegetables, I learned, they can't digest, but the vegetables they would get from the stomach of the kill that was already partially digested, and they can just pull the nutrients from it. So you put the veggies in a food processor with a bit of water, and you feed it that way as if it was from the stomach of a kill.
Interesting, because when I found that, and it could have just, you know, you're talking about raw meat, just like our meat, that's what I will mix in with a high quality. I look at every ingredient on the bag, and, you know, one of the things that people don't realize is that most dog foods aren't even made with meat. They're made with corn. And so that's very important to look at the ingredients. As you do your own food, you should look at the ingredients you're putting into your animal, as you would your children. I do give them meat, not raw, though, and vegetables that are cooked, you know, from my own table that I would feed my own children and mixed in with that. And that seems to be working really well. I also find that keeping them on a regular diet and not changing it up too much helps. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. One of the things I had learned was that kibble takes about 16 hours for them to digest, and raw meat takes 8. So if you feed your dog twice a day, the digestive system never rests, which means the energy can't go elsewhere in the body. I'm sure now that the higher quality kibbles are probably easier to digest because they are more real, even though they're not. But by doing the real food piece, you're really allowing the body to send energy elsewhere when it's not being used for digestion. But I think that keeping it, you know, switching out kibbles to different brands is really not a good idea. The dogs get used to using certain enzymes for digestion, and so if you keep switching out, then they have to keep switching, and that's where you can get digestive issues. The other thing that I learned from my dog that was fear aggressive was that the chemicals and preservatives used in the dog food was triggering his aggression.
Yeah, yeah. So, and it can in children as well. I find kids with ADD, you address their diet. And a lot of times you'd be surprised at the change in their behavior. Now, when you give them raw meat, do you give them raw vegetables? And raw, like what kind of meat? Do you give them?
I was using a prepackaged frozen diet, and I had done it for a while. It really wasn't resonating. So I actually, with my dog now, have gone to I buy organic meat out of the store. I usually test with a pendulum to see which proteins are going to be best. A lot of dogs with ear problems, if you just change the protein, the ear problems will go away. It's a dietary issue. And then I do the veggies raw. I just mix them in a food processor with some water. Occasionally I'll add a raw egg in there. Occasionally I add a supplement that I take, that's a fruit-based supplement. It's a liquid, and I'll add that in there to give them a bit of a boost. For me, it's the simpler the better. They weren't designed to have a complicated diet.
So you do recommend giving a dog a bone, so to speak, because you'll find vets are actually, at least some vets are actually telling you not to do that.
As long as it's raw.
As long as it's raw.
Yeah, it's a cooked bone splinter, and that's where the problems come in.
I see.
Because they'll splinter into the intestines.
Okay.
Yeah. And small bones don't splinter. I mean, I feed my dog turkey chicken necks. As a source of great calcium and all the other nutrients that come from the bones. But as long as they're raw, they're still soft enough that they're not going to splinter.
I see.
I don't pick anything up. But I give knuckle bones, I'll give marrow bones, but always raw.
That's interesting. I never thought to feed them raw food, and you're right. That's how they would have eaten without being domesticated. And that makes sense going back to what their original diet would have been. As humans are also finding, the raw food industry is blowing up as people are discovering that when we, you know, and I liked cooked vegetables just like the next one, but the vitamins are more abundant in raw food, so that makes a lot of sense to me. I have a boxer, and she has a hard time chewing things. She had a food that really worked well for her, but she would throw up occasionally, and I think it's because the actual size of the kibble was too large. So I've been going to a smaller, more expensive food, which is fine with me, but I'm just trying to find what's right for her. I don't know if she would have a hard time with raw vegetables. She has a hard time just chewing, period.
Yeah, have you always had the dog?
No, Layla's actually, a year old now?
I got her on Mother's Day last year.
Yep.
Okay, so is there a history to her?
Well, there is a little bit. The history behind this particular dog is she was with a family, it's my son's girlfriend's family, and they had two boxers. And they loved them very much, was a very active part of the family. And then one of the members of the family passed, and it was very devastating to the family. And the family kind of, broke away, and the mother couldn't handle both the dogs. It was funny that the dog was given away to another friend for about 2 weeks, and she had some separation anxiety because she was messing when she was away and did not want to deal with that. So I was upset that she hadn't called me first because, I would have gladly, taken care of her for a time, not knowing I was going to fall madly in love with her the second I saw her. And so she ended up coming back to the family, and then they called us, and I said, well, bring her on over. And she instantly bonded with us, and, but she also had members of that family still visit. They still will take care of her when I go away. And, we've adopted her, but yet the original family is still part of her life.
Yeah.
So she had some separation anxiety, the same, messing on the floor. I just simply went through the training process with her, and she no longer does it. Seems to be very well adjusted. I'm just trying to get the food down and make sure that she's happy with what I'm giving her and, that kind of thing.
So as you're talking about her, the feeling that I get is a tightness in my jaw.
Yes.
So I'm wondering whether she's either out of alignment or TMJ, something like that.
That would make some sense why she has, because she'll take a mouthful and chew, and, she's kind of a messy eater. But yeah. Boxers have, she doesn't have big jowls, so she doesn't drool a lot, which I'm very grateful for. But she, I did give her a small, there was a couple of foods I went through that did not agree with her whatsoever. And I don't want to put her system through, elaborate changes trying to find the right food. So maybe I should bring her to you so you can help me.
Because
I think that's the only issue I need. I mean, she seems so perfectly happy, and we just love her to pieces, and I'm so happy that she's able to still connect with her first family, and they come and visit her. We actually had a couple of them spend the night Christmas, oddly enough, and she slept right on top of the brother, like on top of him, like, oh, I missed you so much, and it was so joyous to me to be able to still give her the love from that family, and that they know that she's safe and secure, and it's been a great experience.
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking that the vision or the image that I'm getting is that for whatever's going on with her jaw or wherever she's out of alignment, she's not able to chew properly, which means the digestive system as a whole is not working the way it should.
Okay. So she seems to look
pretty healthy. You know, she doesn't look gaunt or anything. She's very active. We hike on a regular basis. But
yeah.
I have noticed that, yeah, maybe I will bring her just because I want to be able to accommodate that. But that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's what I'm feeling. Just an extreme tightness in my jaw. And I know Boxer's body check because they used to play with my ridgeback.
So should I just do some Reiki on her jaw?
I would do some Reiki on her jaw, around her atlas, TMJ,
mm-hmm.
and just see what you get.
Okay, yeah. And what about any oils? Would you suggest anything that I could use?
Vala, do you have Vala?
Oh, are you kidding? I would bathe in it if I could.
that's like, I love that oil for that kind of work. So I would
okay.
use that.
Okay, great. That's what I'll do. And just do it along the spine like you would
anyone
or right on the jaw?
I wouldn't do it on the jaw because I don't know whether the aroma would get into the eyes. You've got to be careful.
Right.
You know, around the head, but maybe on the back of the head, like on the
okay.
back of the neck. To get it in and then use the Reiki to kind of promote it.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Excellent. So my girlfriend Layla, who loves to crawl into my mouth, is going to be eating better, which means she will be feeling even more crawly and fun and loving. Yay! Great news. We have about 10 minutes left to the show, so I wanted to give the floor back to you, Michelle, and let you know that I'm very grateful for your time again today. It's really been wonderful, and hopefully, you know, maybe this fall we can have you on again because it really opened up a lot of doors for me personally, so I can only imagine the people that are out there listening have a new perspective. So what is the one thing or two things or 12 things, totally up to you, that you want everybody to take away from today?
I just wrote an article last night, and the message that really is coming through from these animals is, I think you were talking about it right at the beginning of the show, that there are some energetic global changes going on, and the animals are totally connected to it, and they're totally moving with it, but they want us to move with them.
Mm.
And so they're asking us to step up into what we should be doing, step into our truth and our vibration, to do those things that we've always wanted to do that never thought we could or should. They really want us to be in that space. They want us to listen to them. Perfect example, real quick, is somebody came in with a dog and she said, the dog's not eating her food, but it's taking the sausages off of my plate. And I said, well, that's communication right there. It's the only way the dog knows how to do that with you. So obviously the kibble's not working and the dog is asking for real food. And the number of animals that are asking for a shift in their diet right now is huge, and I think it's because of the energy shift that's going on. But that's
mm-hmm.
also a reflection in what their caretakers or parents need to be looking at for themselves. And they're really pushing hard for people to look for alternative ways to live their lives.
So do you go to trade shows? Do you offer classes? How do you, what are the other methods that you use to reach out to educate people in this process?
I do trade shows. I have a few coming up, and I, you know, I have an email list that people can join, and then they'll know what's going on. I teach Reiki at all three levels. I teach it traditionally so that they're not one-day classes. They actually go for
mm-hmm.
a few weeks. So people really can understand it. And then I also teach an animal Reiki workshop because it's so different when you do Reiki with animals to working with people. And
I would be so interested in that.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal workshop, and it's really helping people to gain the ability to start their own businesses or to work on their own animals and have a whole different approach to how they do Reiki with their pets. And then I offer an introduction to Reiki and essential oils for people that just want to know more about it. Normally a venue will contact me and say, could you come in and do this, and we'll set the date, and I go and I teach.
Oh,
so I'm
so cool.
sharing my work with people to empower them to do this.
So what is your next trade show and where is it? Maybe one of us or all of us or any of us can pop by and give you a high five.
Thank you. I'm doing the Southern Maine Pet Expo. I think it's in May.
And is that in Portland?
It's in Sanford. Sanford or Biddeford. But it's
Sanford
online.
Or Biddeford.
Yeah.
So it's the Southern Maine Pet Expo?
Yeah, and it's a Saturday and a Sunday. It's at the Armory. That's the next one that I'm going to be doing.
All right.
Cool.
So you just have people come in with their animals and you work with them? Is that how you do those trade shows?
The trade shows are more just information, talking mm-hmm. with people. It's difficult to work with the animals at a trade show unless they really come and sit in my lap and say, could you fix this? And then obviously animals don't know about making appointments. They just say, oh, you have energy worker written across your forehead.
Or
and
they
I need
just,
it right now.
Right. And I agree with this alignment that part of the process that we are called to be is being in unity with all creatures of the planet. And I really think that the animals are, you know, are really crying out loudly that that they want us to be on the same page as them. So I'm really glad that you brought that up.
Yeah, it's definitely been a big piece for the animals that I'm working with right now. They're really pushing. The land clearing that I did today was a horse that begged the owner to bring me in for the horse. But when I got mm-hmm. there, I realized it wasn't the horse, it was the land.
Oh. So what was the vibrational energy with the land? Was it like a historic spot that just had some bad mojo? Or?
It was, we did some divination work, which is the shamanism side, and the land used to be a school, and it turned out that a tornado had come through, and many of the children had passed there, but they had not crossed. Very, very heavy vibration there, and none of the horses would walk past that space, which made sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so the work that we did was to create an opportunity for these kids to pass, to go to the light, and then to clear the land, to set new intentions for the land. So we did the divination, but the owner was the one that actually did all of the work.
Oh, wow.
That's great. I hear that word intention so much lately. It's an amazing word.
It's a very powerful word, and clarity is where it's at with intentions.
Absolutely. All right. So one more time with your website and your phone number. I want to make sure that everybody can reach you. It's been a very busy chat room day, and Amy's, I think, gained a few gray hairs.
That's all right.
My telephone number is 207-289-0009. And my website is nikonaturaltherapies.com. And Niko is spelled N-I-K-O-E.
All right. And are you a Facebooker, a Twitter person?
Yep, I'm on Facebook and I'm on LinkedIn. And I post a lot of stuff there about things that are going on. I blog fairly regularly on my website, and I share these kind of experiences that I have with the animals online so people can see what's going on and how the animals are communicating.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. Well, again, I'm very grateful to have you on the show, and hopefully we can circle around and have you on sometime this fall. I just feel like fall is the right time to have this conversation again. I have no idea why. It's just that's what's sitting on my lips. And hopefully we'll meet in person, and absolutely look forward to just learning more about this process, because it really is terribly important to have better communication with your pets, you know.
Definitely, definitely. And I have to just say that I'm just so grateful to be able to share this, and I just really enjoyed chatting with you both in this show. It's been fabulous.
Absolutely.
And I also want to put a shout out to New England Holistic Health Association, who Michelle is a member of, as well as I am. And a lot of the guests that you're hearing today are members of that group. It's www.nehha.org if you want any more information. It's a great nonprofit organization that promotes health and wellness practices and practitioners.
Woot, woot.
All right, so we're going to wrap up the end of the show. And again, very grateful to Michelle and her level of expertise. I feel so relieved that I don't smell like beef.
And I'm going to the store to buy organic chicken.
So thank you all for listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty and co-host Amy. And thank you for all the chatty chatters in the chat room. You guys are doing great. I love to see all the action in there. Lots of good information and lots of fun stuff. Next week, we are going to have Tammy Credicott, and don't ask me to spell it because I can't spell, so we're good. She has just published a book on gluten-free cooking, and her husband has been a huge advocate for her, and I know her husband from Gluten-Free Faces, and that's how that connection was made. So I'm really looking forward to hearing a little bit about her journey through the gluten-free world and why she does what she does, and you know, we all have our pain points, and it doesn't matter what the subject is. We're still human, and we still go through the beginning, middle, and end. And sometimes the end is actually the beginning. So it's all a big circle. It's cool. I love what I do. I'm grateful to all of you. I am blessed to be able to put this show together and have so many wonderful stories to share with you. And this show would not happen if it wasn't because of you and all of your questions and your emails and your support and your love. So much gratitude to all of you out there in listener land, and keep those emails coming. We love to learn, and we love to learn more.
Thank you, Michelle, and you will be hearing from me.
Thanks again.
All right. Thank you, Michelle.
Bye.
Next week, we'll hear you and we'll see you on Living and Thriving.